الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا مولانا محمد عليه وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your families and give you Jannat al-Firdaus ya Rab. Ameen. Welcome to another episode of Saviors of Islam, where every night we look at an icon from Islamic history that left a beautiful legacy behind. Tonight is one of my favorite and most inspirational. This individual has really left a beautiful legacy behind and was very transformative. Hearing the story was very transformative in my youth. I remember actually it was my uncle who sat down with me and he shared a beautiful lesson from the story of Uwais al-Qarni. So what's the story of Uwais al-Qarni and why is he such a beautiful character and why did he leave a beautiful legacy behind? I want you to imagine one day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad alayhi wa ala alihi afdalus salati wa tamut taslim. And while he's speaking to the companions, he reminds them, there is going to be an individual that will walk in now to the masjid. And this individual is going to be from the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purified and elevated and chosen and honored. And so all the companions are excited. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Abu Bakr? Is it going to be Umar? Is it going to be Uthman? Is it going to be Ali? Who is this individual? And a man walks into the masjid that was not known to the people. Unknown to the people. Didn't wear the most celebrated of clothing, the fanciest of clothing. Didn't really stand out much. But there was something beautiful about this individual's life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected. It was a secret. Nobody knew. You couldn't just look at the person and figure it out. And so the companions asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the secret? Give us an example. Like, what makes somebody get to that level? And so he told them, one day a man will walk into Medina or Mecca, will come to you. And this individual is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if he were to ask for something, لو أقسم على الله لأبره, if he were to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give it to him. He's from one of the unknowns, unknown to the people in this earth, known to the angels and the people or the beings in heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person so much that whatever they ask, Allah will give it to them. So they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what's the secret? Why did this person get so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, he has a mother, لَهُ وَالِدَةٌ هُوَ بَارٌ بِهَا. He has a mother and he is diligent in the way that he treats her, with love and with respect. The story of Uwais al-Qarni is a beautiful one. He was in Yemen when An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali ibn Abi Talib to teach the people of Yemen about Islam. So he's listening to Islam and he's learning about Islam and he's inspired and he becomes a Muslim. So he's one of the earliest converts to Islam. And he's in Yemen. And he's from the family of Qarn, from the tribe of Qarn. That's why he's called Uwais al-Qarni. Now, what's amazing is when he becomes a Muslim, he makes the intention. His intention is to go and to join Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and become one of his companions. Become one of his companions. But he doesn't want to go yet because he has a mother that depends on him. So he keeps saying, you know, I want to get the ajr of sitting. I want to get the reward and the privilege and the blessing of sitting and learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I'm not going to go at the expense of my mother. I'm going to stay and take care of her. And he stays. And he ends up taking care of his mother for so long that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passes away. And he misses out in that way. Abu Bakr becomes the Khalifa. And he can't go either. And it wasn't until the time of Umar that Uwais al-Qarni ends up leaving Yemen and finally making his way to visit Mecca, Medina with the intention of performing Hajj. Now, what's amazing is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he passed away, he told the companions, he told the likes of Umar and Abu Bakr and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abu Huraira, he told them that there is going to come a day in which this man is going to come to you, Uwais from the family of Qarn, from Yemen. When he comes to you, make sure that you go to him and ask him to make dua for you and to ask Allah for forgiveness on your behalf. Ya Allah. You know, I want you to imagine, just sit back for a second and let this sink in. This is very powerful. Wallahi, this is very powerful. How many of us would do anything to be from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? To be around, alive, when he's alive. to listen to him. You know, looking at his face was da'wah in itself, was as a reason for your iman to be increased. How many of us would do anything to sit there in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'm getting goosebumps. I'm just imagining this. Yeah? And it's a big blessing, big blessing. But he chose, Uwais al-Qarni chose to put his mother's needs ahead of that desire of his. And he didn't have any guilt doing so. And he didn't have any resentment. And he didn't have any anxiety or stress or worry while doing so. He embraced serving his mother who was blind. And the story is beautiful because the night or a few nights before Ali ibn Abi Talib came to Yemen to invite people to Islam, Uwais al-Qarni was actually in the house and the light went off. You know, back then they had lamps, oil. The light went off. And his mother was blind, so she's used to navigating without the light. But he was stuck. He's, you know, walking around, can't find his way. And his mother comes and takes him by the hand and she shows him the way. And so then finally when he meets Ali ibn Abi Talib and he, let me hear some Quran. What is this Islam of yours? And he hears the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورًا. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give light to, the light of insight, the ability to see beyond the apparent, the ability to really read situations and people. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah doesn't give you that, you shall have no light. So you can have all the lights in this world, the one that we perceive, you know, the lamp in your house, the light that's, you know, coming from your screen. But that's not what's going to show you the way. That shows you some manifest apparent things that you can see. But insight is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Imam al-Shafi'i says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَأَمَرَنِي بِتَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي وَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهُدَى لِعَاصِي. I went to my teacher Waqi' and I complained about my inability to memorize. I used to memorize so quickly and now I can't. So he told me, knowledge is a light. It's a gift from Allah. And the divine light is not given to someone who's sinning. You know, you wonder why you can't see. You wonder why your heart isn't as soft as it used to be. You wonder why you're limited in your patience, you're limited in your perseverance, you're wondering why you're scattered all over the place, you're worried about what people think and the anxiety and insecurity about what others think of you. You're wondering why all of that is there, why there's no contentment, why there's no stability, why there's no fulfillment, why there's no patience, why, you know, you're scattered all over the place because the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't settled and you need to purify the sources. Purify the vehicle through which the light of Allah can enter and the place where it's going to settle, your heart, the means, your eyes need to be purified. All of that needs to be purified. And when it's purified, the light will settle in your heart. So Uwais al-Qarni gave up that privilege to take care of his mother. And finally, in the Khilafah of Umar, he makes his way to the Hajj. And it was Umar's habit that whenever he went for Hajj or whenever he sent somebody else for Hajj, he would ask them, announce and ask if anybody has met the man named Uwais. So finally, he makes the announcement himself. Is there somebody among you from Yemen? Yes, the people of Yemen. Is somebody amongst you from the family of Qarn? Yes, the tribe of Qarn is right here. Is there anybody amongst you named Uwais? Yes, he's here. So he goes up to him and he can't believe his eyes. He says, who are you and why are you asking about me? I am Umar. Umar is asking about me? Why are you asking about me, Amir al-Mu'mineen, O commander of the believers? I'm asking about you because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to the hadith, and the hadith is authentic. سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولْ. I heard the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, say, يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ أُوَيْسِ ابْنْ عَامِرِ مَعَ أَمْدَادْ أَهْلِ الْيَمَنِ. There will come a day in which Uwais will come to you from Bani Amir, and he will come with the people of Yemen. ثُمَّ مِنْ قَرْنْ كَانَ بِهِ بَرَصْ. And I'm going to tell you specifically, so you know who he is. He had, you know, leprosy, or he had a skin defilement of some sort. And فَبَرِئَ مِنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him healing. إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ dirham. Except one small, like the size of a dirham, the size of a coin, it's still there. And this is from the prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, he predicted this and told him, you're going to come and you're going to meet this man. And this is how you know him. Because it could be the case that there are multiple people with the name, multiple people from the family. لَهُ وَالِدَةً. He has a mother. هُوَ بَارٌ بِهَا. He is dutiful and diligent in taking care of her, in loving her. لو أقسم على الله لأبره. If he were to ask Allah for anything, Allah would give it to him. فإن استطعت أن يستغفر لك فافعل. If you're able to ask him to make dua for you and to ask Allah to forgive you, then do it. Because his dua is accepted. I want you to imagine Uwais lived this whole time as one of the many people. Didn't stand out. Didn't know that Allah privileged him with this gift. Didn't know that Allah selected him. Didn't know that Allah chose him. And he's hearing this from the word of Umar ibn al-Khattab years later. Wallahi, you will never know. And you can never appreciate fully the gifts that Allah has prepared for you. To all of those who work behind the scenes. To all of those that are unknown to the people. They're not the stars that have the spotlight shown on their face. They're not the ones that pop up on your Facebook feed and your Telegram and your Instagram and your TikTok. They're not those people that are going to pop up on those feeds. They are the people that are, you walk by, like, oh, it's just another person. You don't give them attention. You don't ask for their autograph. You don't care to give them an extra level of respect because you don't know their position. It's like, yeah, I would respect them if I knew. You don't know. You would never be able to guess. But with Allah, they are stars. They are legends. They are icons. They shine to the angels. The angels humble themselves in their presence because of their sacrifice and because of their commitment and because of their heart. And so Uwais is emotional. أَوَ مِثْلِي يَدْعُوا لِمِثْلِكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. How can someone like me ask Allah to forgive someone like you? يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I'm nobody. I am a nobody. You are the Amir. It should be me asking you to ask Allah to forgive me. The humility of this man. Ya Allah. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Nobody will ever know what Allah has prepared for them, hidden from their sight, a blessed gift waiting for them as a reward for the good that they used to do. Umar al-Khattab says to him, make dua for me, my brother. He says, oh Allah, forgive me and forgive all of my brothers, including Umar and the companions that were available. And then Umar got so excited, he said, from this day on, I refuse to let you go. You will stay and live with me, and I will take care of you financially, and I will make sure that you are respected, because there's no other individual that is mentioned by name from Rasulullah ﷺ, and the least that we can do is honor that legacy. Honor that legacy of yours. He says, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't mean to insult you, and I don't mean to seem ungrateful to your beautiful offer, and I would love nothing more but your company. But I am the type of person that thrives in the shadows. I don't like to be in the forefront. I don't like to be known. I don't like the spotlight. I don't like the recognition. I like to just be myself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to cruise. That's what I've been comfortable with. That's what I got used to. And I'm not ready for that life. So where are you going to go? I just want to go and settle somewhere at Kufa. Let me send a letter to the Amir of Kufa so he at least can treat you well and respect you and give you the position and respect that you deserve. Please don't. Let me at least give you some. I really appreciate it, but that's not what I'm here for. So let me at least, I have all that I need. I have a goat that I milk, food that I have, enough money, and this cloak that I'm wearing is strong enough that it will probably endure for the rest of my life. Islam doesn't teach us to be distant from dunya, to divorce dunya. I'm not asking all of you to be oasis, and Islam doesn't ask us to be that. But Islam does teach us to honor every individual that we come across. Because wallahi, we don't know who is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than who. There might be somebody in the spotlight that seems to be pious outward. They are so inspirational. Their words are incredible. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. From the people that you come across, you will be so impressed with their words. And they say, yeah, wallahi, I am such this and this. I love Allah, so I love you for the sake of Allah. They will say all of that. And you don't know what their hearts conceal. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا. And when he travels, she travels through the land. They will not leave an injustice except that they do it. All kinds of corruption they're involved in. It's hidden. You don't see it. And others, you look at them outward, they don't stand out. You know, it's just another guy. But with Allah, they're incredible. I want you to imagine when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard about the caretaker. You know the caretaker that used to take care of the masjid of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Nobody paid attention to her. Some people didn't even know her name. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes and he doesn't find her for a few days in a row. What happened to her? Ya Rasulullah, she passed away and we buried her. We didn't want to burden you. You're busy. He said, how dare you? Take me to her grave and let me make dua for her. She was dear to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to make dua. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, oh Allah, allow us to love the fuqara and the masakeen. Those who are poor, those who are destitute, those who are locked in a socioeconomic level and they're not able to move themselves out of that limited position that they're in. Do we love people who are not known in the same way? You know, the first of people, the earliest people to enter Jannah are the poor. We know the hadith. And the last people to enter Jannah are the rich. Why? Because the rich have so much that they have to be held accountable for. The audit is long. So like imagine when you go to the accountant and you have one line of income, your taxes are going to be done very quickly. Your audit is going to be done quickly. But if you have all kinds of lines of income and you have this and this and assets and investments and, you know, coins of this kind and gold and silver, it's going to take a while. And so the earliest of people who enter Jannah are the fuqara. And most important, my brother, my sister, which I want to focus on here from Uwais, is the way that he was with his mother. The way that he was with his mother. You know, I want this to sink in. The ulama say the biggest musibah, the biggest calamity that hit our ummah. Let me ask you, what's the biggest calamity? Type it in. I'm not reading the chat now, but I will read it later. Type in the chat, what do you think the biggest calamity is that hit this ummah? What is the biggest calamity? Is it a civil war? Is it economic failure? What is the biggest calamity? The ulama say the biggest calamity to hit this ummah is the death of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because while he's alive, we had direct access to the divine. When we're considering options, when we want to make a decision, we have a revelation. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abu Bakr is in Jannah. We know it's done. It's a revelation. Umar is in Jannah. The people of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted them among the people of Jannah. Confirmed. End of discussion. Ya Rasulullah, what do we do? This or that? So the formation period of our religion is beautiful. That's the most beautiful period. And that's the time in which you have direct access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commenting. This is halal. This is haram. Avoid this. Don't do that. This is the way things are going to be. And that's when Islam takes its form. Isn't that incredible? And after that, what happens? Everything after that is based on ijtihad. Everything after that, that is not limited to that, is ijtihad. So from then on, it becomes a matter of opinion. It becomes a matter of doing the best that we can, but we will never be certain, except if it's clear, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, it's clear. But those areas of ijtihad, those areas where we have to do the best that we can to extrapolate, are beyond our capacity to be fully certain about. That's why it's the biggest musibah. But Uwais al-Qarni chose to be with his mother and to serve his mother. And chose that ahead of being the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ahead of being in his presence. That's a big deal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him because of that. Now, my brothers and my sisters, I want us to just imagine together, like I mentioned, inshallah, over the weekend, over Friday, Saturday, we'll make the halaqah a little bit longer. 5 minutes just to, you know, take more, inshallah, based on the same topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen, I want this to sink in. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. Your Lord has decreed that you don't worship anybody besides Him. He's the only one worthy of worship based on who He is. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And to your parents, show excellence. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. When one of them or both of them reach old age, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't say oof to them. Do the dishes. Okay, fine. I'll do the dishes. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't show disrespect. Don't raise your voice. Even a body language. Do this. Okay, fine. I'll do it. Okay, here she's talking again. So the body language, the small little utterances. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And speak generously with them. You know, sometimes you see a child, a son, a youth comes home, How's your day? Okay, alhamdulillah. So very little words will they say with their parents. But when they're chilling with their friends, they give a whole lecture. So why are we so stingy with our parents, with the words? Why are we not generous with the quality and the quantity of the words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And lower the wing of humility for them, out of mercy. What does that mean? You know, after a while, when you grow, you become older, you become mature, you become independent. I'm 18. I don't need you. I'm my own person. I have my own values. You have an accent. You don't understand my struggle. You're just an old lady, an old man. So Allah says, when you get to a point, what understood here from the ayah, when you get to a point where you're able to soar high and fly like a bird, you no longer need your mother, you no longer need your father. You can look down upon them because you're a bird that's free. You're able to travel and soar high in the sky. Allah says, when you get to that moment, that's when you lower your wings, you stop flying out of humility for them. And you do so with mercy emanating from your heart. Why? Because you come to recognize, and that's why we make the dua, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them as they've raised me when I was little. What you know, your tongue. Can you imagine using your tongue to insult the one who taught you to speak? You use your hand to hurt the one who raised you with her hands. You use your face to show disrespect to the one whose wrinkles, the wrinkles on her face, are mainly because of all those nights that she stayed up to take care of you. And all that worry that she had because of you. SubhanAllah, we forget. We take things for granted. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated Uwais al-Qarni. Finally, in the few minutes that we have together, I want to share with you some inspirational moments from some of the tabi'een and the sahaba to really assert and drive this point home. You know, as Zubayr ibn Hisham, he used to go to the, you know, back in the desert, he used to go up high to, you know, get some water. And he used to take this water and go up high as close as possible to the sun to warm it and finally bring it to his father so he could make wudu with it. And many times there would only be enough water for the father to make wudu, and he would have to make wudu with water that is cold coming from, you know, the under the ground. And other, sometimes the opposite. At night they would go and they would cool. He would cool the water for his dad so that his dad would make wudu and drink, and it would only be enough for him. People ask him, why, you know, you could combine the water and have a little bit and you don't have to give him everything. He said, I have nothing makes me happier than seeing my father happy. I'm fine, I can do without it. You know, Muhammad ibn Sirin, he used to not eat from the same plate. He'd have a plate for him and his mother. He would eat from separate plates. Why? He says, I don't want my mother to look at a piece of the dish and my hand reaches it before her hand does. So I give her exactly what I have and sometimes more. She has it right in front of her, and I don't want her to, you know, just want her to be completely comfortable and free and happy. Ibn Abbas, when he was asked, what's disrespect to the mother? What is that like? He said, I want you to imagine you have dust on your clothes and you dust it off by accident. You dust it and the wind picks that dust towards your mother, towards your father. He said, you should have a level of consciousness and awareness where when you're dusting, you think about where the wind might carry. You take a step back and you don't do that in the presence of your parents. Lowering, you know, the companions, when they spoke to the parents, they used to lower their gaze out of respect for the parents. But where is that level of respect? And of course, I always say this, just like we have, you know, sometimes challenges with our children, we also have challenges with our parents. Of course, our parents are not perfect and we're not perfect. But let's create this sense of love and respect. Let's put them in a position where they're secure. Let's bring the best out of our parents by treating them with respect. And of course, just like that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, you have to show respect to the old, to the parents, and you have to show mercy and kindness and understanding and sensitivity towards our children. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا. We know this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family and give you Jannat al-Firdaus. In a time in which families are struggling, you know, all kinds of anxieties, all kinds of mental health limitations and challenges. With Corona come even an extra layer of difficulty and challenge. Let's not break the bond of family. Let's reach out. Get up now. Go to your mom. Go to your dad. Kiss them. Ask them to make dua for you. Say, I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget, but I love you. Despite the difference, pick up the phone, call them, check up on them. If you're not able to, because they've passed away, make dua for them. Donate on their behalf. Make dua for them. Whatever they taught you, whatever khair is left behind, continue to spread that in their name. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Bless your parents. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّوْنَا صِغَارًا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon them as they've raised us when they were little. Jazakum Allah khair for tuning in. May Allah reward you and bless you and give you Jannat Firdaus. Please join us every night at 8:30 p.m. for one of the saviors of Islam. As-salamu alaykum.